in the 29th juz of the Quran, in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that this world is a place of examination. We are here in this world to be examined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have been sent to this world so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent us into this world to enjoy a life of luxury and pleasure. Thus, to follow the path of nafs and shaitan and to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this invites the chastisement and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if one follows his or her whims and fancies and her or his own logic, then this is complete foolishness. If we follow our logic, if we follow our rationale, because we will never understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned certain things in the Quran? At times we will understand it, and at times we will not. But as human beings, it is our responsibility not to question the ayat and not to question the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who possesses the right to tell us how we should live our lives? In this world, no one possesses the right to tell us how we should lead our lives. No one in the United States, no one in Pakistan, no one in India, no one in Bangladesh, no one can tell us how we should live our lives. The only one who possesses the right to tell us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He bestowed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final Nabi, with this right as well. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this right to tell the people how they should live in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and according to the pleasure and happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that our sisters, they have begun going to the cinemas, watching videos, listening to TV, listening to music, leaving homes immodestly, and living, unfortunately, in complete disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends, and an individual becomes afflicted with severe and life-threatening illness, for example, blood pressure, or na'udhu billah min dhalik, cancer, or kidney stones, then all the comforts and luxuries and beauty of these women are reduced to nothing. Just recently, a sister, she passed away in an accident. She was very young. She was a very young sister and not even married. And she passed away. And whether a male or female, whether they pass away, if they pass away young, there's no way to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take this individual's life after so many years when they are young. There is no guarantee how long we are going to live in this world. There is no guarantee and there is no information that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take our life tomorrow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take our life next week. So we have to live in this world knowing that death can come at any time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us, when He takes us back to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us that, how did you pass your life? Respected mothers, sisters and daughters, it is the great favor and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever follows the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is a male or female, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a promise in the Quran. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him or her an enjoyable life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them a life of joy and a life of happiness, a life of great peace and comfort. On the other hand, those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never acquire true peace and comfort. Similarly, that woman who goes against the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not walk around with a veil does not offer her salat, troubles the husband, disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, such a person will never be able to lead a life of extreme serenity. She will not acquire any kind of peace or contentment. And when the time of death approaches, the enjoyment of all disobedience will terminate. Because disobedience, it feels good. Right? This is something that the nafs wants, this is something that the shaitan encourages, that to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our nafs enjoys that we watch television and going to cinemas and walking around immodestly. And this goes for both males and females. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is disobedience. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, he used to say that whenever man and woman, if they want to reform themselves, then the first step towards reformation is muraqabah and meditation on a daily basis. One should constantly meditate. The Prophet ﷺ would meditate before he achieved prophethood, before he was conferred with prophethood from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would meditate in Ghari Hira. He would meditate in the cave of Hira. And the meditation should be that, you know, my soul has left my body. And now I am being bathed by people who I don't even know. And thereafter, I'm going to be placed in my burial shroud, and I'm going to be placed in the pit of the grave, and heaps of sand are being thrown over me. This should be our meditation, because Rasulullah ﷺ in a hadith states that Uzkuru Hazim al-Ladhat. No, Uzkuru Dhikra Hazim al-Ladhat. That profusely remember the thing that breaks all kinds of bounties, all kinds of bounties, all kinds of favors that we see each and every day, and that is death. Death is a thing that once you remember, everything else becomes secondary. We will be constantly worried about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, Mujaddid al-Millat, Ashraf Ali Thanwi in Baheshti Zewar, he's a very great scholar. He mentioned that whoever's heart has become hard, and instead of engaging in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is troubled, or she is troubled by the desire of engaging in sin, then unfortunately hardness has settled into this individual's heart. This is, in Quran, this is termed as qaswa, which means hardness of the heart. And for reformation of such a heart, a prescription has been mentioned. See, when our hearts become hard, then there is also a prescription. If we are inclined towards sin, if we are inclined towards evil, if we are inclined towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is a prescription for that. A woman came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was the consort of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. She was once asked by a woman, "Oh my mother, nowadays my heart is not inclined to performing salat and reciting the Quran. My heart has become hard. What should I do?" Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she replied that just do one thing. Reflect over death daily. Reflect over death daily. And that the time of my death has come. You know, we are very near death. Just imagine if we knew today that my death is going to come in the next moments. Right? What are we going to do? What preparation are we going to make for this? We are going to do everything. We are going to utilize this time that we have. These few moments that we have, we are going to utilize it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My family, my elegant, the clothing that I have on, my beautiful home, everything is going to leave me, or everything has left me. After a few days, you know, this woman comes back to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said that, "Oh my mother, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha, Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you excessively. My heart has now established a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has become cognizant now. Our hearts become cognizant. Once we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times in the back of our heads, right? Always we have cognizance and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not ghafil. we are not ghafil, we are not unaware, then this heart, whatever hardness we have, it will be removed. Our hearts will become soft. Now I am getting enjoyment in my salat. I am also getting enjoyment in my recitation of the Quran, because my heart is now inclined towards obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is no longer hard. So now when I read the Quran, it permeates throughout my body. It affects my body. It affects me. And it affects me in a positive way, so that I am inclined towards zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In light of this hadith, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Millat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, he has mentioned that that individual whose heart has become hard, he is unable to discard sin. See, when a person is constantly involved in sin, eventually he will keep sinning and he will think nothing of it. And unfortunately, this person will not fear, he will not possess the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever the desire to sin arises, this individual will hasten towards sin like a crazy person. He doesn't have any perception, any idea of servitude and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, I am the creation and the slave of a higher being, and that I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, my whole body, my time, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, he mentioned that an amazing and wonderful cure for this, and this is, you know, 100% beneficial, is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills any person, whether it is a male or female, when he practices upon this perception that, you know, that I have to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commands, and that I have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I have to remember death, then this nafs and shaitan, whatever relationship this individual has with nafs and shaitan, it will be severed. So what is this cure? That on a daily basis, just before sleeping, one should meditate for at least 5 minutes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called me and the time of my death has come. My soul has departed from my body. People have gathered and now they are bathing me. After bathing me, they are wrapping me in my burial shroud. Thereafter, they are taking me to my graveyard, my parents, my wife or my husband and my children, my business, my beautiful carpets, my clothing, my gold and silver jewelry. They are being left behind. The people have taken me to the graveyard and they have placed me into a pit of the grave. And soil and dirt is being thrown over me. All of them have left me, and this, inshallah, this proves as a cure, that now I have to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one has come with you, no one is going to come with you over in the grave. Everyone has left you, no one's husband or wife, nor the children. They will not be of any help, they will not be of any benefit. We are alone. In our graves, we are alone. We are going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that who is your Rabb? We are going to be questioned that on the Day of Judgment, that man, oh woman, what did you do in the world? How did you utilize your youth? Where did you use your eyes? Did you perform the salat on time? Did you fast? Did you observe the parda? Did you observe the veil in front of mahram people, those with whom marriage is permissible, and strange males? If your actions are good, then you will be blessed with Jannat. But if your actions were evil, then it is a very sad thing that the angels will drag and fling that individual, that woman, into the fire of Jahannam. All enjoyments on that day will be completely destroyed. This world is a place of trial. We have to understand that this is a test. This is a trial and tribulation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have come here for what? A couple of days. We are here for a couple of days. And we are here for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we should have mercy on ourselves, we should have mercy on our souls, that we have to show obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should look at this as a temporary enjoyment, you know, for a couple of days. But the life of the hereafter, this is everlasting. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, guide all of us towards the path of Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, grant us this ability to be obedient towards Him. Now I was speaking about reformation, that one should think about the graveyard daily. Now this young girl who passed away, she was not even married. How many girls like this, how many sisters like this, they have passed away. And, you know, they have left this world. They have left this world, and you know they had no idea. They were in their youth, and they had no idea that they were going to leave this world. So many young men, young women, they have passed away. And you know, we have to sacrifice our lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call. We have no idea when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call. We have no guarantee how long we are going to live, right? We think that, okay, we're going to get old, and well, I'm going to perform my hajj when I get old, and I'm going to do my excessive ibadat. Respected mothers and sisters and daughters, when you place an order, when you place an order for meat, do you order the meat of an old goat or a young goat? Do you order the meat of an old goat or a young goat? What is better, youth or old age? Which is the best part of our life? The best part of our life is youth. So what gift do we want to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Youth or old age? Of course, youth. We want to display the best of whatever we are capable of doing during our youth. We should feel ashamed of ourselves, and we should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That what do you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when we have become old and our backs have become bent and we are wearing thick spectacles and when we have become a grandmother and grandfather, that okay, yes, now it is the time that we should think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and this is ingratitude. Our youth, we can do everything and anything during our youth. We can do so much ibadat in our youth when we are healthy, right? But then when we, you know, many people, unfortunately, they labor and there's these delusions that, well, I'm going to live until, you know, 50, 60, and that is the time when I'm going to stop watching TV, I'm going to stop going to the theaters, I'm going to stop my disobedience, and, you know, basically I'm going to become a human being then. So then, and then this is how people justify their living during their youth. That, well, now is the time that I should enjoy by myself. But we have to realize that this life is not ours. This youth is not ours. This is something that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. This is an amanat, this is a trust. And we should make sure that we fulfill this trust. We make sure that this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us as a trust, it is fulfilled. And we make sure that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He ought to be worshipped in this world and during our youth. So we should repent. The youth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us should be sacrificed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We go for hajj, we go for umrah. How often do we see old women and old men with virtually they are in ruku position and they are performing their hajj, they are performing their umrah in that position. They're doing it in ruku. They are very weak. They are in wheelchairs. You know, our hajj, our umrah, our ibadat, it should be performed when we are young, when we are in the vigor of youth, when we have all the strength, we have no weaknesses. This is when our allegiance should be shown. You know, this is when our allegiance should be shown. A lion, you know, a young lion, he is in the vigor of his youth, and this is when he can capture the prey. But an old, toothless lion can do nothing. You know, we cannot do anything. You know, we are never attractive when we get old. But in our youth, we are attractive. This is the time when we should show our quality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, I'm going to lower my gaze for your sake. This youth is an amanat. I'm going to lower my gaze. I am not going to look at na-mahram men. I am not going to look at na-mahram women. This is the time when we have all the abilities, when we have all the capabilities, when we look our best. But we are aware, we are cognizant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are cognizant of His commands. We are not ghafil, we are not unaware. We know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He wants from us. Do we not realize that a young man or a young lady, 16 years old today, eventually that young man, that young lady is going to become a grandmother, a grandfather. You know, we're going to have to wear thick glasses. You know, the teeth may not be in the mouth. You know, the back will be bent. Same thing with a boy, a young man, that everything that whatever youthful appearance he has, if he is handsome, that is going to leave when he gets old. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to wear magnifying glass-like spectacles and glasses. Right? He's going to become an old person. Right? So then, we should not, as Muslim believing men and women, we should be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment of the grave begins. All the enjoyment of sin will be quickly forgotten. Right? We cannot tolerate our finger on a burning matchstick or a hot pan. So how can we tolerate the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it is going to afflict our whole body? Right? Allahu Akbar. There's an example. A fish comes to the surface of a river, and he sees that some fishermen, they have come to catch us. These fishermen, they have nets and knives. This fish, on seeing all this, he goes and he informs the other fish, listen, there are fishermen present on the banks of the river, be careful. They have nets and bait and knives. And if you, you know, if you go there, if you bite on their bait, they're going to catch you. And they're going to cut you in small pieces with knives. And after heating the oil and, you know, making the fire and, you know, turning on the stove, they're going to fry you. And then with 32 teeth, they're going to chew you up and eat you. And your bones, they're going to be chewed by the cats and the dogs. So the other fish, they said that, well, you know, this fish, it's making a fool out of us. So go eat the bait and enjoy yourselves. We can't see any nets or knives or fishermen or fire. The fish, they become heedless. They become ghafil. And they become unconcerned. And in this condition of heedlessness, they eat the bait which the fishermen have placed. And when the fishermen catch them and take them out of the water, they are convinced that the fish who had warned them, he spoke the truth. The fishermen then do exactly what that fish said. You know, cutting and heating and eating and throwing their bones. But now it's too late. You know, there's this belief has no benefit. Everything has been done. Allah, during Mi'raj, the Prophet ﷺ went to the heavens, and this is the point that I want to make. This is the point of this example, that when the Prophet ﷺ went to Mi'raj, and when he saw the world of the hereafter, the Prophet ﷺ saw Jannat and Jahannam. He was also blessed with the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the non-believers used to say regarding the Prophet ﷺ that anta saduqun amin, that you, Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are very truthful and extremely trustworthy. This was something that was acknowledged by the non-Muslims as well. They never considered him, they never called him a liar. Therefore, as Muslims, as believing men, as believing women, we should believe that whatever the Prophet ﷺ told us, it is true. And by not believing and accepting what the Prophet ﷺ has told us, we are inviting trouble, and this will inevitably lead to our destruction if we don't believe what the Prophet ﷺ wants to tell us. Now the tafsir of Surah Mulk, the ayah that I recited, Tabaraka allazi bi yadil mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Extremely blessed and magnificent is that being who is the true owner of kingdoms and lands, and he has power over each and everything. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, he can make a poor person rich, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make a rich person poor. He can afflict a healthy person with paralysis and make him completely weak, and he can bring disgrace to a person, he can bring honor to a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do this. A perfectly healthy person can go to bed in the morning, and when he wakes up, he can have, you know, a disease. He can have stones, he can have problems with his kidneys, you know, he can have problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason for death being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Alladhi khalaqa al-maut wa al-hayat liyabluwakum ayyukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created death and life as a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned death over here first. Why is that? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the word death instead of life? A scholar, Maulana Abdul Ghani Poolpuri, very famous scholar, he was asked that why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned death and before life? You know, doesn't life come first and then death? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah, Tabarakallazi biyadil mulk, Alladhi khalaqal maut wal hayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created death and life, so that you are tested, so that you may be tested. So this scholar, he answered that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned death before life to indicate to us that we should always be conscious of death. We should always be aware of death. Otherwise, we are going to get involved in this world and in the joys and pleasures of this dunya, and you will end up destroying your akhirah. Right? This world is a difficult place to live. If we are not aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, then we are destroying our akhirah. But if we are aware, then we are creating our akhirah. Right? The life after death is everlasting. Rabia Basriya, rahmatullah alayhi, she was a very great waliullah, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a woman. And many other women who were awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have passed. And their piety, some women, their piety even surpassed that of men. Right? That's how pious they were. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants people tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants people tawfiq to do good and to become pious and to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to take that first step to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we take that first step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take two steps. We walk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs. But we should show that initiative. We should show that concern. So this Rabia Basriya, she purchased a slave girl. This slave girl, she woke up 1 o'clock in the morning and she started to offer tahajjud prayer. She was making the following dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O Allah, by virtue of the love that you have for me, accept my du'as. So, in the meantime, she woke up, she heard the du'a of the slave girl, and she asked that, dear girl, how do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? How do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? What proof do you have? What evidence do you have for this claim? The slave girl, she replied, the proof of this is that my Lord, He is the one that has granted me this awakening. He has awoken me from my sleep. You know, unhone mujhe bedar kiya. He has awakened me from my sleep. And He has given me the ability to make wudu. And He has called me into His presence. And this is the proof of love. That while I was lying down, resting on your bed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the ability to make wudu and stand before Him to perform tahajjud salat. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created death and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created life. That this mentioning of death before life, this is a very powerful advice. That we should be aware of death always, at all times. That we have to understand that death is going to come. It is to show the importance of death. So we are not completely focused in this world. That we have to leave. Eventually and ultimately, we have to leave. These people who live in this world, they make no preparations in the hereafter. We make no preparations for the hereafter. We hasten towards sin. You know, like people who have lost, we are not cognizant. It is as if we have lost our minds. You know, we watch our movies, we visit the cinemas. I was a student in Pakistan. I would walk past and, you know, subhanAllah, in the markets there were movies, you know, movies that were being watched, and this is something that is very unusual, that movies are being watched in a Muslim society. You know, unfortunately, this society has become very disgusting. You know, they watch pornographic films and they have become desensitized towards everything. They listen to the haram on the radio, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what other, you know, obscenities have come into existence in this day and age. But people, we rush, you know, headlong towards these sin without any regard for ourselves. It is as if we are running towards the fire without any fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us by mentioning in this ayah death, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاةِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created death and life, right? To show that death, we should be aware of death, and that it can come at any time. Once again, I want to divert your attention to this girl who passed away, young age, not married. Death can come at any time. You know, or a young man that passes away, death can come at any time. Marriage was not, there was no marriage, nothing. So we should always be cognizant of death. What is the method for creating this enthusiasm and devotion in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My respected mothers, sisters and daughters, we should force ourselves to engage in zikr, in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Form the habit of forcing ourselves to do zikr. And thereafter, you know, ultimately will become a habit, and you will never leave it out. For example, a person has the habit, you know, in our countries, Pakistan and India, people have a habit of chewing pan, right? Or, you know, tobacco. Now, for a person who's never tasted tobacco, you know, first time he tastes it, he's going to throw up. But once the habit is formed, and if he does it every day, he's going to keep chewing pan. He's going to keep, you know, taking tobacco. Then he's going to start asking like a crazy person when he doesn't have tobacco and pan. And this has happened. One of my friends, he came and he asked me that, you know, where can I get pan? Where can I get tobacco? You know, and I, this is the thing. It has become a habit. So where can I get pan? Where can I get? So similarly, that when one gets into habit of evil things, then it is difficult to leave it. Thereafter, when one performs a good habit of making zikr, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and zikr, and I will tell you, the best azkar is La ilaha illallah, is the best zikr. Constantly say La ilaha illallah. Allah, make zikr of Allah, durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, istighfar. All of these things should be done 100 times. And the third kalima. So the first kalima, La ilaha illallah. The third kalima, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Istighfar. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanb wa atubu ilayh. Allah, just keep reciting Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah. This is also zikr. And durood sharif. Salawat upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salawat upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. What this does, that inculcates the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sunnah, and also his character. This is what it does. So now, this person who is not in a habit of doing zikr, inshallah, this is how this habit will be formed. That we don't want to do zikr, but inshallah, if we force ourselves, eventually it will become a habit. And alhamdulillah, you know, while we are cooking or making food, we can make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who go to sleep and, you know, without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the ones who are negligent and they have not tasted the enjoyment of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we sleep, we can make zikr while we are lying down. You know, instead of, you know, the Westerners, you know, they count sleep, they count sheep when they cannot sleep. So instead of doing that, instead of, you know, watching TV or reading a book, you know, before sleeping, we can do zikr. We can take our tasbih, we can do zikr. Just as, you know, a lover of, you know, tobacco, he asks that, you know, where can I get pan? In a similar manner, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask, you know, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where can I find Allah? Where can I find Allah? How do we find Allah? So we have, you know, we have understood the love of pan and food, that where can I find, you know, a good burger or a good pizza, you know, or, you know, a good restaurant to eat. But, you know, why, you know, we understood the love of all of these things. Why can't we understand the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, Allah, should we not give priority to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, this is very, you know, is it only these Allahwalas that are fortunate that they have attained the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, all of us, we need to be ashik. We need to be lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to show our this obedience. Once we become lovers, then obedience will come. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the answer to this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be inculcated and imbibed. And it can be practiced by ibadat and by shunning sin. By worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by shunning and leaving sin. So it can never be that such a woman then who has become a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that she struts around, you know, without a veil. Because she has become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She has become a friend and wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith, he said that, and this is for males and females, that whoever commits sin, he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He or she has invited the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith that La'an Allahu nazir wal manzur ilayha, that may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the one who casts evil glances and those who adorn themselves so that people may cast evil glances at them. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right. The Prophet has mentioned this, that may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon that man who casts evil glances at women, who looks at women lewdly, and may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon that woman who adorns herself and allows strange men to look at her. Right. This is what the Prophet ﷺ says. In order to avoid, some women, you know, they give an excuse that, oh, I don't want to wear, I don't want to cover myself, and the excuse is that, well, it is very hot. You know, I can't do it. But when it is time to, you know, make food, you know, some delicious food, biryani or kebabs or anything along those lines, we don't complain how hot it is in the kitchen, right? And because the greed, that lalach is there, that greed, that want, that avarice is there of filling our stomach. So we don't complain. We don't complain. But when it comes to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make all sorts of excuses. That, well, you know, it's too hot, and, you know, I don't want to do this right now, or, you know, this is the time when I don't need to cover myself because I'm very young. No, we should display our quality when we are young. When we get older, who is going to look? We are not going to be looked at by strange women. Men are not going to be looked at by strange women, and women are not going to be looked at by strange men when we get older. So the parda, the purpose of the veil falls now. This is the objective. The wives and the consorts of the Prophet ﷺ, they wore this parda, they wore this veil, so to protect themselves. This was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were ashikin, they were lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on both the man who casts evil glances as well as the woman who roams around unveiled with the purpose that I want, you know, men to look at me. And this is the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays, people feel, they fear the curses of, you know, the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peers and these spiritual guides, but they don't fear the curse of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know? And this is very unfortunate. We feel the curse of, you know, everyone else, but we don't fear the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet. So therefore, whenever we have the desire to look at a handsome boy or a beautiful girl, we should immediately remember the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should ask ourselves that, what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we inviting the curse of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on ourselves? Right. See, there is, when a man becomes a slave to his nafs, carnal self, his connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes weak. And then the people, we don't even remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because, you know, our nafs, we want to satisfy and satiate our nafs. We want to watch TV. We want to watch, you know, movies. We want to watch sitcoms. This is because the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has weakened. You know, zina of the eyes, adultery of the eyes and the tongue. Right? Zina al-ayn al-nazar, casting evil glances, is zina of the eyes. Casting evil glances is zina of the eyes. To cast lustful glances at strange males and females, at handsome, at handsome men, this is zina, adultery of the eyes. These are the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Any male who looks at a female with desire, and any female looking at a male with desire, the ruling regarding it is that it is zina. Zina al-lisan al-mantiq. The speaking to a non-mahram with desire, right, is zina, adultery of the tongue. Right? This is Bukhari. Imam Bukhari has mentioned this hadith. Zina of the tongue is when a man, he engages in idle talk with a woman and makes this woman, you know, his friend. This is haram. This is not permitted in Sharia. And when, you know, when our shahwa, when the carnal desires are aroused, then we should remember this hadith, that speaking to a non-mahram with desire is adultery of the tongue. Even some, you know, dini conscious people. You know, dini conscious people, people that are involved in deen, sometimes they don't even remember. See, shaitan can come at any time and in any place. Right? That, you know, we listen to something or we hear a woman's voice. We don't know how we are going to fare. This is why we should be aware of these ahadith, these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shows the weakness. It shows that our heart has become hard. And we have not let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permeate our hearts. We have not let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. So we have become a slave to our nafs. Shaitan can come at any time. People who are deeni conscious, people who are good Muslims, they have fallen prey. They have fallen prey towards, you know, an attractive woman or an attractive lad. They have fallen prey. This is why we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq and ability to protect us from any kind of trial and tribulation. Right. When a girl looks at a boy or a boy looks at a girl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching their immodesty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, you know, their shamelessness. This hadith in Bukhari, that to look at a non-mahram, you know, you're looking at someone's mother, you're looking at someone's daughter, this is adultery of the eyes. Similarly, for women to look at men, and for girls to look at boys with lustful glances, this is also adultery of the eyes. You know, speaking to one, you know, is adultery of the tongue. But what does our nafs say? What does shaitan say? That, you know what, enjoy it for a few days. Enjoy it, it's okay. It's only today. It's only today. You know, wallahi, I have received so many questions, and this is living in this country, from masajid, unfortunately, where, you know, people were involved in illicit relations, and as a result of those illicit relations, you know, they had a child, and then they asked that, what can we do now? You know, we have committed this sin. What can we do? Well, now the only thing that can we do is that the only thing that we can do is repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to minimize the damage. This is all that we can do. And this society that we live in has become very immodest. You know, we call ourselves modern, and we take great pride that, you know, our daughters, they have become modern, and, you know, they have studied. And it is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with going to college. There's nothing wrong with going to high school. There's nothing wrong. But at the same time, we should make sure that our daughters are preserving their Islamic identity. They are not ashamed in wearing the parda, in covering themselves. Because this is something that Islam encourages when they go outside. You know, we feel happy that, oh, my daughter's photo is published in the newspaper, you know, and this is something that is wrong. You know, people are going to look at our daughter. People are going to look at our daughter, and who knows who's looking? There's a lot of sick people out over here. Who knows who's looking? There's so many sick people, and they derive pleasure from looking at women, because these people, their hearts have become hard. They have not let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permeate their hearts. They have not let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter their hearts. Right? These, a lot of, you know, pious men, you know, they have tasbihs in their hands, but when their daughters, you know, when they, you know, pass their examinations and their, you know, pictures appear in newspapers and, you know, television or whatever, they become very happy. But we should be aware that, you know, these are our daughters, and everyone is looking at them, and it is not permitted for these people to look at our daughters. This is why the importance of parda is something that the Prophet mentioned to his wives on so many occasions, that they should seek parda, they should seek doing parda from everyone and anyone. Two of the Prophet ﷺ's consorts, wives, our respected mothers, they were sitting with the Prophet ﷺ. A blind Sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umm Maktum, came. The Prophet ﷺ commanded his wives to ihtajiba, veil yourselves. The wives, they said, you know, alaysa huwa ama, isn't he blind? The Prophet ﷺ replied that, "Afa amyawani antuma, alashtuma tubsiranihi." That, "Oh my wives, are you also blind? Can you not see him? Can you not see this man?" Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ was amazing. The Prophet ﷺ made his wives veil themselves from a blind sahabi. The amount of sin that men get for looking at non-mahram women is the same for women who look at non-mahram men. It is also forbidden for women to look at non-mahram men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed three tests upon his servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and I'm going back to the ayah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوكَمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. O men and women, O people of Iman, listen. We have sent you into this world to and we have sent you to test you. You know, we have not sent you to frequent the cinemas, to watch videos, to live a life of luxury and enjoyment, right? Without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is permitted to live a life of luxury and enjoyment as long as one does zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it should be within the parameters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's injunctions. One cannot do haram. One cannot, you know, go to the cinema and say, well, this is enjoyment. You know, one cannot watch dirty, pornographic movies, right, and say, well, this is enjoyment. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world as a test, that to see that are we treading the path, the path of desires? Are we treading that path? Or are we living our lives in accordance to the happiness and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allama Alusi, he mentions in his tafsir, he was a very great scholar, and he mentions that this verse from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when this Quran was revealed, and this is something that we should listen to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسُنُ عَمَلًا, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may test you, both men and women, to see who are those who do good actions and who are those who obey nafs and shaitan. The lives of sin, the lives of sin and negligence. The commentary of this verse is that ahsanu amala, that ay liyabluwakum ayyukum atammu aqlan wa fahma, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test you to see that who amongst you is intelligent and who amongst you is foolish. We should understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us, both male and female. Those who are sensible, those who are insensible, those who are living their lives like donkeys and those who are living their lives as human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us. That are we living our lives in accordance to the pleasure of shaitan, or are we living our lives in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining from sin? So we should ask ourselves that are we following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are you following the commands of shaitan? The test of taqwa and abstinence, this is the second tafsir that the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us to see who will abstain from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared as haram, has prohibited us from, and see who will live a life of taqwa and abstinence, be it a female or male. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to test us. And if we, you know, perform our ibadat the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to perform, if we live our lives in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us jannat for this. Inshallah, I will continue with this speech next week. Inshallah, I've taken a lot of time. I wanted to apologize. If there is, you know, a day where other than Saturday, which works for the sisters, that's fine with me as well. Perhaps Friday, I know there are sisters that are invited to go to family gatherings on Saturday, and they have other obligations on Saturday. So if there is any other specific day that the sisters and mothers are comfortable with, then inshallah they may put it in the suggestion box over there, or where should they put it? oh, in the, they can put it in the safe, inshallah, and one of the brothers will come and take it later on. They could also email and let me know, or let one of the board members know when they would like to have. This is all up to you, and inshallah, I am at the service of whatever day, inshallah, everyone is prepared to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and understanding. If there are any questions, please feel free to ask. You may email, call, or inshallah, just leave the questions in the box, inshallah, and I'll get to them next week. Jazakallah khairan. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.